We have your Bibles, if you will, find Psalm 119, or you can just follow on the board or the screen. We're going to be looking at this whole entire psalm and all of it, everything in it. It's divided up into, I think, 22 stanzas, and each stanza deals with or reminds us of the great value of the Word of God, why we need to place such a high value. What's the benefit of studying the Word of God? What's the necessity of walking in the Word of God and living under its authority? There is great benefit for that. And so each one of these stanzas, or each one of these couplets, deals with the beauty, I guess is the best way I can say it, the beauty of the Word of God and the great value of it. So last week we looked, and it starts out with the value of the Word of God. How blessed are those whose way is blameless. And it talks about how to keep our way blameless. Well, in the second section, verses 9 through 16, it talks about the fact that the Word of God provides guardrails. It opens up with a question. How can a young man keep his way pure? How do we keep our way pure? How do we live a life that honors God? How do we live a life that avoids sin? How do we live a life demonstrates the power and the presence of God in our lives? And how do we experience all that God has for us and then experience the bad things that God doesn't want us to have to go through? Even following God, there's hardships. There's things that we have to go through because sometimes He leads us through hardships. But just to be honest, most of the hardship we go through is because we avoid God's Word. We decide to live on our own understanding. We decide to do what we want to do rather than how God has designed life to be lived. And it produces a lot of chaos and a lot of problems. So if we want to live a life that is experiencing all God has for us, and miss out on a lot of the bad stuff in life, well, then we need to focus on God's Word. So he tells us in verse 9, if you would stand with me as we read, beginning in verse 9, and this deals with the fact that God's Word provides guardrails. How can a young man keep his way pure? By keeping according to your Word. It seems very straightforward. But how do you do that? With all my heart I have sought you. Do not let me wander from your commandments. Your word I have treasured in my heart that I may not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord, teach me your statutes. With my lips I have told of all the ordinances of your mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and regard your ways. I shall delight in your statutes. I shall not forget your word. You may be seated. Lord God, we do pray that Lord, you would help us understand tonight how to keep our way pure and the value of living a life that honors you. God, give us some insight to your word. Lord, help me to describe, help me to parse out your word. God, to rightly divide your word. And God, may your word have its freedom, that living word, that word that is a two-edged sword. God, may it work in our hearts and our minds, God, to train us up into righteousness so that we can keep our way pure and keep it according to your word. Lord, we love you and we want to honor you, but we also know the frailty of our flesh and our propensity to sin. So God, we need you to help establish these guardrails to bring us back when we wander away. And Lord, may we honor you in all that we do for the rest of our days. In Jesus' name, amen. So it begins with the question, how can a young man keep his way pure? By keeping it according to your word. Now, why does he use the word young man? When we're young, we kind of set the path of our life. When we're young, we're kind of headstrong and we think we've got all this figured out. When we're young, beginning at early teenage years, you know, we start developing our own identity and our own way of thinking, and we don't like authority, and we just want to do what we want to do, and we think we're 10 foot tall and bulletproof, and it may happen to them, but it's not going to happen to me. I'm going to be different. I can do it and I can handle it. Well, the problem is the things that we do in our youth follow us for the rest of our life most of the time. The habits we create, the things we get involved in, the history that we create, it pursues us the rest of our life. And so if we're going to keep our way pure in our old age, the best way to do is to avoid some things in our young age. And man, I'm just going to tell you, I really do appreciate people. I was saved early, but I didn't follow Jesus early. And I really do appreciate people that started young and pursued God as a young person, young woman, young man, and they can live their life. At the end of their life, they can look back and they can say, I followed God and I missed out on a lot of stuff that I'm glad I missed out on. You know, there are some things I look back in my life and I say, I wish I'd have missed out on that. But if we want to keep our way pure, start young. Man, it's important that as a young man, a young woman, to set our heart towards God and to pursue God, to live within those guardrails that God's Word has applied. It's not to cause us to miss out on fun. It puts up the guardrails so that we will miss out on the chains and the slavery and the problems and the heartache that bad decisions make. And so he says, if a young man wants to keep his way pure, if we want to live a life that avoids a lot of the bad stuff, he says you got to keep it according to God's Word. Now, he gives us three things in here, I think, three general categories of how we can do that. How do you live a life within the guardrails of God's Word? Because we are all prone to sin. We're all prone to wonder. We all fail sometimes. We want to do the right thing, and we just stumble into sin. But most of the time, if we're honest, we don't stumble into sin. We run into sin. And so, how do we live a life within the guardrails of God's Word? How do we start young and finish strong as an old man or an old woman? How do we do that? Well, I think in this we can find three things that are very important in keeping our life within the guardrails. Verses 10 through 12, I think the first part is value accountability. Value accountability. Be willing to listen. Be willing to have somebody question you. And here, first it begins with God. Look at what he says. With all my heart, I've sought after you. So his desire is to seek after the Lord. With all of his heart, he sought after the Lord. He wants to do right, but he also knows that he's prone to wander. Look what he says next. Do not let me wander from your commandments. So he says, God, I want to do right, but I know my flesh is weak. The spirit's willing, the flesh is weak. I want to do right, but sometimes I just give in, so God, don't let me wander. Always remind me, draw me back. God, put up those guardrails, put up those speed bumps. When I start heading off out in the left field, God, put up that fence. And God, let your Holy Spirit convict me and draw me back. Let me quickly return back under your authority. So it gives God permission. It gives God permission to hold us accountable. God, don't let me wander. You know I'm prone to it. You know I struggle with it. So God, don't let me. Stay on me. Get after me. It says, your word I've treasured in my heart that I may not sin against you. See, when we value accountability, we understand the reason I want to do right is because all of my sin ultimately is against God, not against other people. Our sins, like David, when he sinned against his wife and he had committed adultery with Bathsheba and had Uriah killed. When Nathan the prophet confronted him, in Psalm 55, I believe it is, you hear the confession of David, and he said, against you and you alone have I sinned. Now, he sinned against Uriah and Bathsheba, and that was bad. But the worst part is we sinned against God. He knew that adultery was wrong. He knew that murder was wrong, but yet he still thought he could handle it, and he got himself in a mess. And it was ultimately a sin against God. And every sin we commit ultimately is a sin against God. And when we understand that, and when we value that relationship with God, and we're asking him to hold us accountable, then we pursue righteousness because we don't want to sin against the one who died for us. We don't want to sin against the one that has been so gracious, so kind, and so patient towards us. We don't want to sin against one that loves us from a pure heart. We don't want to sin against God. I can usually come up with a good excuse to sin against you. I can come up with a good excuse. We're good at coming up with excuses or reasons why it's okay to do what we know is not right. You know? Well, my wife just ain't been doing what she's supposed to do, and, you know, this one over here is paying me a little more attention, and it's all my wife's fault. You know, or my husband's fault. He's not doing what he's supposed to do. He's not paying any attention to me. And so we can legitimize our sin, or it's just been there, and nobody seems to be claiming it, so, you know, it'd be okay for me to take it. I can use it. It's not like I'm just going to take it and it's anybody's. It's just been there, you know. And so we can legitimize our sin because it's towards somebody else, but when ultimately we understand that when we do something wrong, it's against the holy God that we sin. So he says that he needs God to hold him accountable so he doesn't sin against him. Blessed are you, O Lord, teach me your statutes. God, teach me your statutes. Hold me increasingly accountable. Hold me to an understanding and continue to teach me. God, I don't want to be satisfied with our relationship where I am. I want you to continue to teach me. And part of accountability is growing in understanding. We're held accountable so that we will understand more, not just so that we will do better, but so that we will grow in wisdom and understanding. So he says, in that first part, the first way we can keep our life within the guardrails is that we value the relationship we have with God through accountability. Value and be accountable. Then the second one, verse 13 through 14, says, with my lips I have told of all your ordinances of your mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies as much and as in all riches. The second thing that we have to do, if we're going to live life within the boundaries of God's Word, if we're going to stay within the guardrails, we've got to passionately participate. This is not a passive endeavor. Our spiritual life is not a passive thing for us. We have to passionately participate in God's Word. We have to passionately participate in growing in God's Word. We have to passionately participate in sharing God's Word. We have to passionately participate in teaching and letting other people know God's Word. Man, that's why accountability groups, small groups, whatever you want to call them, life groups, man, they're so important because they help us, one, with accountability, but they also help us passionately participate. We talk about God's Word with one another. We ask questions and we discuss what's the meaning and how and to understand it more and more as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. So we need to be in those groups, those accountability groups, those life groups, those Sunday school classes, those small groups where we're doing this life together so that we're participating in God's Word. We're participating in growing. We're passionately participating in this maturity of God. He says, I rejoice in your word. I rejoice in sharing your word. I rejoice in talking about your word. With my lips I have told of all the ordinances of your mouth. And he talks about God's word. He studies God's word. He rejoices in God's word. And he wants to be molded and grown in God's word. But you can't do that unless you passionately participate. Now that's in worship. That's in small groups. That's just in doing life with people and just walking through this journey together. We've got to passionately participate if we're going to stay within the guardrails. Otherwise, we don't see the guardrails anymore. We don't know the guardrails anymore. We don't recognize when we start getting off out in left field as quickly anymore. So we need to passionately participate. The third thing is that we have to have an unwavering commitment. We've got to be committed to staying on the road. You know, I really, really like four-wheel drive vehicles. You know why? Because you don't have to stay on the blacktop. It's fun every once in a while to get out in the mud. And, you know, it's nice to know that when you do something, you need it snows, and sometimes you need four-wheel drive, but sometimes it's just fun to put it in when you don't need it and get out and play in the mud. To get off out here, but usually when you get off out in the mud, bad things happen. You're going to tear something up, universal joints are going to go out, transmission's going to tear up, hubs are going to get sand all in them. And I mean, there's all kind of bad things that can happen when you get off the road. Same thing. We want our spiritual life to be four-wheel drive sometimes. And we want to leave the road. We want to get outside the guardrails and go play in the mud every once in a while. When we go play in the mud, bad things tend to happen. So we've got to be passionate about staying within the guardrails. We've got to find joy and passionately stay on the path. We've got to have an unwavering commitment to doing life according to God's Word. Because there's going to be all kinds of reasons and all kinds of temptations and all kinds of encouragement to compromise. Sometimes it's internal, sometimes it's external. But the world is always pushing us to compromise on the Word of God and to live life other than within the guardrails. And so here he's reminding us that we have to have an unwavering commitment to the Word of God. Verse 15 and 16 says, I will meditate on your precepts or your commands and regard your ways. That meditate means I'm going to ponder, I'm going to think about, I'm going to let it marinate after I've read it. I'm going to start just thinking about it. How can I apply it? And God, I'm going to memorize it. Then he says, I'm going to regard your ways. What does it mean to regard something? It means that we're going to have respect for it. I'm going to have respect for your ways. I'm going to put a high value on your ways. I'm going to regard it. So I'm going to meditate on it. I'm going to regard it. I shall, it's a choice, I shall delight in your statutes. The way of doing things. And I shall not forget your word. We have to have an unwavering commitment if we're going to stay within the guardrails. If we're going to live life according to God's word, it's not a haphazard thing. It's not something that's just going to happen because we're saved. We can't get on autopilot. I've been saved. Okay, now God, change my heart. God, change my mind. We've got to participate in this. We've got to be committed to the guardrails that God has set up. We've got to be unwavering in that commitment. We've got to be willing to be held accountable by God and by others. See, we don't want other people holding us accountable. But all of us need somebody in our life. Somebody, a Christian brother and sister. Somebody that's on the same journey we're on and wants to see God growing in us and in them. And we've got to be willing to be held accountable by somebody. Somebody has got to have permission to ask the hard questions to us. Somebody's got to have permission to say, brother, this is what I'm seeing. Help me understand what's going on here. Brother, this is what I'm hearing. Are you staying in the Word? How are you treating your spouse? How's your alone time going? Are you guarding your eyes? Are you guarding your heart? You know, we've got to have somebody in our life that has the permission from us to ask us hard questions to hold us accountable. If we're going to live within the guardrails, then we've got to value accountability. We've got to passionately participate, putting it into practice and rejoicing when we understand and just fired up to live according to God's Word. And we've got to be unwavering in our commitment. No compromise. There's plenty of places we can compromise. Plenty of places we need to compromise. But when it comes to God's Word, we cannot compromise, no matter the cost. All right? So God's Word does provide guardrails, but it's up to us to want to stay in them. All right? Let's pray. Lord God, I do thank you.